Best worst case scenario podcast.
Yeah, when I look under my hood, it's like magic to me, man. I don't know what those. I'm like living in sci-fi. I'm living in Back to the Future.
You could be a caveman.
I'm
looking
just
under
a
the engine.
Dude from the past.
Like your knowledge of the engine is like caveman level.
Yeah. Like I'd be that person who would buy blinker fluid or horn oil. Like I would do that.
Horn oil. That sounds weird, man. Sounds like something you get at Lover's Package.
Lover's Package?
Yeah.
Is that a place?
Yeah.
Lover's Package?
Don't you see it? It's everywhere, man.
No.
It's got the purple letters.
And the lingerie in the window.
Lovers. I guess you call it Lovers.
Yeah. I don't know where you got that package. You brought the package.
I did. I bring the package.
You know who doesn't have love?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta say that again. Baba Yaga. We're talking about Lady Gaga.
She may or may not be Russian. And she's coming for your kids. So hide your kids, hide your wife. Tell us about this Baba Yaga.
She's a witch lady that comes from Slavic folklore. And she tends to live in the forest in a hut that's got chicken feet. And she she preys on children, mostly. And kidnaps them and eats them. At least the bad Yaga does.
In some stories, she's helpful to the hero.
Bullshit.
No, she is. You just gotta, like, do her dishes and clean her fucking house, and then she'll be real nice to you. But if you don't do that, she's gonna rip your spine out your ass, man.
Yeah.
And eat it.
There's probably other things she makes you do, too, man. She's a witch that lives alone, man. She's probably lonely.
I don't know. I think she's got the forest and nature as her friend, because in Russian folklore, she is supposed to be one with nature, and she's got power over animals, the elements, and even time.
Lady of the bush.
Chicken of the houses. That's her house.
Yes.
Because as you mentioned, it does have chicken feet.
Mm-hmm. Chicken legs.
I think it's hilarious. Chicken legs and feet that raise it up off the ground.
I think it's terrifying. If you saw a cabin in the woods with that was super
things
high.
Got chicken things.
Off the ground, and it started walking at you.
I would chicken run away, man.
You chicken out. Wow, chicken.
Wait, let me try that again.
You gotta do it better.
I can't even be a chicken,
wow,
man.
You can't be a chicken, wow.
Sad. But another thing about her is she can fly, unlike a chicken.
How does she fly?
Well,
she got chicken wings?
Depends on who you ask. No, she doesn't have wings. Chicken wings? No. She's just got chicken feet.
She lives on them.
Yeah.
She doesn't have... She's missing a leg, I'm pretty sure.
No.
But she can fly.
Well, you give and you get, man. She flies around in a giant mortar, wielding a pestle.
Explain those things.
So...
To the layman.
The layman...
Wow. Hating on our blue-collar work.
Whatever, man. Most people have mortar and pestle. It's like this little stone basin, and it comes with a little long stone, cylindrical stone. And you take that stone, and you grind other stuff within the bowl stone. And you can make spices and other things of the kitchen from that. Most people have them, but they have kind
children
of gone
jelly.
Out. They've gone out of use. Yeah.
It's kind of like, it looks like a cauldron, right? The pestle. Well, at least the one that she has. It looks like a basket. She fucking flies around.
It's a big mortar. She's not sitting around in a little tea cozy for sure.
She flies around in a basket and uses a broom to steer, which sounds pretty ghetto to me.
Yeah.
Why does she even need the broom to steer? Why does she
need does her house need chicken things?
No, the
man.
Thing that doesn't make sense is why does she need the pestle that she's got a flying broom?
Because it steers. It's the controller, the remote controller.
No, if the broom flies.
Yeah, how are you going to steer that flying broom, huh?
She uses the broom to steer. It said it in the description.
People say different things. Some say, like you said, she flies around in a giant kettle. A giant black kettle.
It sounds like she should have a different name than Baba Yaga. Like Teapot Witch or Teapot Lady.
Well, she is Russian. And if people are wondering about the name, the word babusya in Ukrainian and babushka in modern Russian
babushka
mean grandmother. In Croatian, Serbian, Bosnian, and Bulgarian, baba means grandmother or old woman. But in modern Polish and Russian, baba is more of a derogatory term, meaning a woman, especially one that is old, dirty, or foolish.
Old and ugly, I think.
And that's according to Wikipedia. So, well, I don't know. Well, take that with the grain.
Babushka, I think, is offensive now. Like a hag, a witch.
Baba is definitely like a, it's a slang term for a dirty, foolish old woman. And you don't want to be those old. Being old's okay. I'll give you that. But you don't want to be dirty and foolish.
You know? Could be.
You could be.
Sound like a fun person.
But you don't want to be all of them. You know,
the whole dirty and foolish.
You can be dirty, but don't you be foolish.
Come on, man. You got to have some fun in life.
That's true. And if Baba Yaga does anything, for sure, it's have fun.
Yeah, eating children.
The figure of Baba Yaga goes at least as far back as the late 17th century, being found on printed wood blocks. It wasn't until 1780 when Vasily Levshin made a narrative account in his collection, Russian Fairy Tales. He wrote about her as having teeth like tusks and hands like a bear claw. Like bear claws.
Like, what? Hands like bear claws.
Yeah. Delicious know. Little swirly, I don't know.
I think she had metal teeth, iron teeth.
Yeah, that's why they say she had.
And a long nose that would scrape the ceiling if she looked up.
I did hear that. I did hear about the long nose.
Yeah, she sounds like a fucking abomination Pinocchio.
Yeah, and she's been in a lot of stuff. Like, she was in stuff like The Witcher Season 2 as the deathless mother.
What?
I better be careful, man. If I keep on lisping, Baba Yaga's going to come after me.
After your grammar.
Think I'm a baby.
It's going to fucking take you to grammar 101.
She's also in 2019 Hellboy, the remake with David Harbour.
Oh, wow. She gets around.
Yeah. She's creepy in that. She tries to give him some baby back rib. And even Keanu Reeves plays Baba Yaga in John Wick.
Yeah, so. That's what I was just about to say, man. You stole my only research for this episode.
Isn't that funny, though?
That's the only one I have.
He
in the
plays
barrel.
An old lady, man.
Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Baba Yaga. She's the big old head lady, head of the house. She can fly. She can turn into a bird.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in Spirited Away, she has a twin sister who is good. The evil one. Yeah. And if you look at the Russian folklore about Baba Yaga, a lot of the stories talk about Baba Yaga as being a triplet of three. And
yeah, what is that? There's supposed to be two other Baba Yagas.
Yes.
And each one has one limb missing more than the next.
Really?
Yeah. The third sister has no limbs, man.
She doesn't just have one arm or something?
Oh, nothing.
I don't know if just that checks out with just, limbs, but...
Just a torso. But there's like some sort of life lesson with the three sisters. Like they're protecting the fountain of life.
Yeah, and what's interesting is in the Encyclopedia Britannica, it is said...
What's that?
Some fancy thing for people who are smart, I don't know.
Like you gotta be British to read it.
But it said this of Baba Yaga. An ogress who steals, cooks, and eats her victims, usually children... A guardian of the fountains of the water of life. She lives with two or three sisters, all known as Baba Yaga, in a forest hut that spins continually on birds' legs. Her fence is topped with human skulls. Baba Yaga can ride through the air in an iron kettle or in a mortar that she drives with the pestle. See, tell you she drives with that thing. Creating tempests as she goes. She often accompanies death on his travels, devouring newly released souls.
She sounds like she just likes to eat people. She's a cannibal.
She is a cannibal.
I heard she also doesn't have a bed. She sleeps on the oven.
How would you know that?
I've got some.
Been in her chicken leg house, man.
I've got some connections in Russia, actually.
She doesn't have a bed?
No, she sleeps on the oven for warmth, kind of like a bird.
That's probably because she's so skinny, huh?
Her mattress is apparently on the oven.
It's on the oven.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound like counterintuitive?
It sounds warm.
I'm surprised her house hasn't burned down. But her house is scarier. Her house is almost scarier to me than her. Just because of how imposing it looks and sounds.
Yeah.
It just sounds scary because this house can chase you down. And it's supposedly spinning while it's running.
Right. Like, how does she not just fucking throw up all the time with that house spinning?
Sounds like she just likes to be dizzy all the time.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things about Baba Yaga seem odd to people in the West. The thing, though, to me, that's the weirdest is just the chicken feet, you know, that it stands on. But the interesting thing is this feature of it might actually trace back to nomadic Siberian hunters because they often built storehouses on top of tree stumps to stop animals from getting to them.
Mm.
And according to PBS, in Neolithic Central Europe, they had the practice of burying the dead by placing them on wooden platforms high off the ground. So I guess it's not really burying them, but it's kind of the opposite of burying the dead.
Yeah.
You just fucking put them in the sky. But that's this
fucked up. For this birds to peck at?
Well, it would dry out the bodies and preserve the bones. So probably. I don't know why she eats kids. And if you look at a lot of the Russian stories, the original folktales, they actually show Baba Yaga as being kind of this neutral good in a way because she helps the hero of the story, but she also sometimes eats their enemy or
eats them.
Or I don't know if she ever does. That's the thing about it is even though she's known as a cannibal, none of the stories actually have someone get eaten. But I could think of a really good explanation for that.
Because they're all kids' books.
Because you can't write a story if you're eaten by Baba Yaga, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's like some pirate logic right there.
Yeah.
And her hut also supposedly doesn't have a door.
How'd she get in there?
Chimney like Santa Claus.
What?
Which is creepy, isn't it?
I believe it, though. She's pretty skinny.
I thought she was kind of plump.
No. Have you seen pictures of her?
I think she's plump with a hobble.
You guys should look at...
She kind of looks like Mad-Eye Moody.
You guys should look at pictures, though, because she's skinny and she is creepy.
The door is supposedly on the back of the house, and you have to chant something for the house to turn.
You said she didn't have a door.
I know, but...
She got a back door.
The though. Door appears if you say...
If you say house,
if you say,
turn around, house.
No, it's turn your back to the forest. Turn your front to me.
So it's the front door. It was just facing the wrong way is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So really,
the front door. The person who chanted that is lazy as fuck.
Yeah, just fucking go around the backside.
Right.
To the front. You in the back. You in the wrong, man.
Exactly.
Not that you'd really want to get into Baba Yaga's house because, like, I don't know. She probably just either make you do chores or just eat you. And I don't know which one I'd rather do.
You know, really?
Yeah.
You'd rather be eaten than do chores?
Depending on the chores, man. I keep my skin if I do the dishes for 5 years. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a very good...
Or you gotta bathe, Baba Yaga.
Yeah, so Baba Yaga, she sounds like she's just a crazy lady, but actually the...
She means well.
The folklore kind of not just has her be neutral sometimes, but they kind of... mention her as being almost like a goddess in a way. Like a force of nature that lives out in the woods and that kind of explains her mysterious ways and the flying and...
It's almost like Mother Nature, huh? Cannibalizes things. Nature's cruel. Cold.
She's like a steward of the forest.
Probably based on a real person.
Maybe.
A real old lady that was in 1700s Russia.
Probably earlier.
Who had like one leg, who lived in a hut, and people just made a bunch of stories about her. And then parents used the story as a way to keep their kids close to home. Don't go too far, Baba Yaga will catch you.
That'd work on me, man. I'm a fucking
she's
wussy.
Gonna fucking catch you and eat you, man.
Like, I'd stay in my house.
Eat you
I'd
slowly.
I'd never go outside.
Baba Yaga daycare, that's what I would make.
Put it on chicken legs.
No, it's just a good name.
I think I like that Bever. I think I like that better than like Baba Yaga barbecue, you know, because then you just be like, oh, is this a chicken leg or is this a kid leg?
Either way, it's taste.
I mean,
it's juicy.
Either way, it tastes good. But it's scary not knowing, you know. There's a lot of really good stories with Baba Yaga. A lot of like riveting, scary, lesson-giving stories in Russian folklore. And for you sweet ladies and gentlemen, Dana is now going to read you a story from Folk Tales from Russia by Vera Xenofontovna. This was written in 1903.
Somewhere, I cannot tell you exactly where, but certainly in vast Russia, there lived a peasant with his wife, and they had twins, a son and daughter. One day, the wife died, and the husband mourned over her very sincerely for a long time. 1 year passed, and 2 years, and even longer. But there is no order in a house without a woman, and a day came when the man thought, "If I marry again, possibly it would turn out all right." And so he did, and had children by his second wife. The stepmother was envious of the stepson and daughter and began to use them hardly. She scolded them without any reason, sent them away from home as often as she wished, and gave them scarcely enough to eat. Finally, she wanted to get rid of them altogether. Do you know what it means to allow a wicked thought to enter one's heart? The wicked thought grows all the time like a poisonous plant and slowly kills the good thoughts. A wicked feeling was growing in the stepmother's heart, and she determined to send the children to the witch, thinking sure enough that they would never return. "Dear children," she said to the orphans, "go to my grandmother who lives in the forest in a hut on hen's feet. You will do everything she wants you to, and she will give you sweet things to eat and you will be happy." The orphans started out, but instead of going to the witch, the sister, a bright little girl, took her brother by the hand and ran to their own old grandmother and told her all about their going to the forest. "Oh, my poor darlings," said the good old grandmother, pitying the children. "My heart aches for you, but it is not in my power to help you. You have to go not to a loving grandmother, but to a wicked witch. Now listen to me, my darlings," she continued. "I will give you a hint. Be kind and good to everyone. Do not speak ill words to anyone. Do not despise helping the weakest, and always hope that for you, too, there will be the needed help." The good old grandmother gave the children some delicious fresh milk to drink, and to each a big slice of ham. She also gave them some cookies, and when the children departed, she stood looking after them a long, long time. The obedient children arrived at the forest, and oh, wonder, there stood a hut, and what a curious one. It stood on tiny hen's feet, and at the top was a rooster's head. With their shrill, childish voices, they called out loud, "Izbushka! Izbushka! Turn thy back to the forest, and thy front to us." The hut did as they commanded. The two orphans looked inside and saw the witch resting there, her head near the threshold, one foot in one corner, the other foot in another, and her knees quite close to the ridgepole. "Foo! Foo! Foo!" exclaimed the witch. "I feel the Russian spirit." The children were afraid and stood close, very close together, but in spite of their fear they said very politely, "Ho, grandmother! Our stepmother sent us to thee to serve thee." "All right, I am not opposed to keeping you, children. If you satisfy all my wishes, I shall reward you. If not, I shall eat you up." Without any delay, the witch ordered the girl to spin the thread, and the boy, her brother, to carry water and a sieve to fill a big tub. The poor orphan girl wept at her spinning wheel, and wiped away her bitter tears. At once, all around her appeared small mice squeaking and saying, "Sweet girl, do not cry. Give us cookies and we will help thee." The little girl willingly did so. "Now," gratefully squeaked the mice, "go and find the black cat. He is very hungry. Give him a slice of ham and he will help thee." The girl speedily went in search of the cat and saw her brother in great distress about the tub. So many times he had filled the sieve, yet the tub was still dry. The little birds passed, flying nearby, and chirped to the children. "Kind-hearted little children, give us some crumbs and we will advise you." The orphans gave the birds some crumbs and the grateful birds chirped again. "Some clay and water, children dear." Then away they flew through the air. The children understood the hint, spat in the sieve, plastered it up with clay and filled the tub in a very short time. Then they both returned to the hut and on the threshold met the black cat. They generously gave him some of the good ham which their good grandmother had given them, petted him and asked, "Dear kitty cat, black and pretty, tell us what to do in order to get away from thy mistress, the witch." "Well," very seriously answered the cat, "I will give you a towel and a comb, and then you must run away. When you hear the witch running after you, drop the towel behind your back and a large river will appear in place of the towel. If you hear her once more, throw down the comb and in place of the comb there will appear a dark wood. This wood will protect you from the wicked witch, my mistress." Baba Yaga came home just then. "Is it not wonderful?" she thought. "Everything is exactly right." "Well," she said to the children, "today you were brave and smart. Let us see tomorrow. Your work will be more difficult, and I hope I shall eat you up." The poor orphans went to bed, not to a warm bed prepared by loving hands, but on the straw in a cold corner. Nearly scared to death from fear, they lay there, afraid to talk, afraid even to breathe. The next morning, the witch ordered all the linen to be woven and a large supply of firewood to be brought from the forest. The children took the towel and comb and ran away as fast as their feet could possibly carry them. The dogs were after them, but they threw them the cookies that were left. The gates did not open themselves, but the children smoothed them with oil. The birch trees near the path almost scratched their eyes out, but the gentle girl fastened a pretty ribbon to it. So they went farther and farther and ran out of the dark forest into the wide, sunny fields. The cat sat down by the loom and tore the thread to pieces, doing it with delight. Baba Yaga returned. "Where are the children?" she shouted, and began to beat the cat. "Why hast thou let them go, thou treacherous cat? Why hast thou not scratched their faces?" The cat answered, "Well, it was because I have served thee so many years, and thou hast never given me a bite, while the dear children gave me some good ham." The witch scolded the dogs, the gates, and the birch tree near the path. "Well," barked the dogs, "thou certainly art our mistress, but thou hast never done us a favor, and the orphans were kind to us." The gates replied, "We were always ready to obey thee, but thou didst neglect us, and the dear children smoothed us with oil." The birch tree lisped with its leaves, "Thou hast never put a simple thread over my branches, and the little darlings adorned them with a pretty ribbon." Baba Yaga understood that there was no help and started to follow the children herself. In her great hurry, she forgot to look for the towel and the comb, but jumped astride a broom and was off. The children heard her coming and threw the towel behind them. At once a river, wide and blue, appeared and watered the field. Baba Yaga hopped along the shore until she finally found a shallow place and crossed it. Again, the children heard her hurry after them, and so they threw down the comb. This time a forest appeared, a dark and dusky forest, in which the roots were interwoven, the branches matted together, and the treetops touching each other. The witch tried very hard to pass through, but in vain. And so, very, very angry, she returned home. The orphans rushed to their father, told him all about their great distress, and thus concluded their pitiful story. "Ah, father dear, Why dost thou love us less than our brothers and sisters? The father was touched and became angry. He sent the wicked stepmother away and lived a new life with his good children. From that time he watched over their happiness and never neglected them anymore.
I heard that when I was really little. I remember our mom would read that story to us, and this is the first time I've heard that since I was like maybe five, and it hit me in the feels, man.
I've never heard it in my life.
Like them feeding the cat and rubbing the oil over the birches? Yeah. Like I remember that. I remember my little child brain trying to understand like
what was going on.
What was going on. And I still don't really know, but
yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's terrifying, yeah.
You know, I wonder though if they would have just stayed with Baba Yaga and like did her bidding, her evil bidding, she probably would have rewarded them really well.
Maybe with some fat children to eat.
Something, you know, for their trouble. Because in the other stories, the old Russian ones, she gave the people who helped her, who stayed to help, she gave them like shiny skeleton heads that glowed in the dark and stuff like that.
And then she'd eat them.
No, I think, honestly, I think these kids overreacted. Well, yeah. That was...
A quick tidbit.
That was a quick bit about Baba. Baba bit.
You could call it a mini episode.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope that you never yourself encounter Baba Yaga. And if you do, do what she says.
Try to get out alive. Don't become pulled pork.
Pulled pork?
Yeah. Maybe meatloaf.
Well, on that pleasant note. Listeners, I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
I'm your host, Mayan.
I'm your host, Dana.
And it is a pleasure to bring you guys these magical, fantastical tales of Russian folklore, I guess.
Yeah. Lore that will give you great dreams.
And chicken feet. Well, it won't give you chicken feet, but they're about chicken.
You can go to Chinatown for that. I think you can order it.
I've never eaten chicken feet.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah. Like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah. Or rate the show if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Yes, yes. And if you absolutely enjoyed the show, consider checking out our Patreon where you can become a member and help fuel the podcast magic that we bring to you guys.
There's a few different tiers on there and you can pick the one that best suits you.
If you guys have any topics that you want to hear about or that you think would be especially interesting to dive deep on, then please send them our way. We'd love to hear from you guys, even if you just want to say hi. We're here.
We're always here for you.
Yeah. You got a friend in us. So with that, I wish you a good and fair night.
Pleasant dreams.